Hi, this is Angela E. calling from Georgetown, Texas, and you're listening to A Beautiful Life with Judy Torres.
I am a recording artist, a radio personality, an actress, a TEDx speaker, and most recently, a certified master life coach. And I am just like you, on this wild ride, a page-turning book filled with victorious chapters and chapters of sheer defeat. Well, I'm here in the arena now, here to help you create a beautiful life. Hola, mi gente. This is your favorite chica, Judy Torres, welcoming you to my podcast called Beautiful Life. If you're just tuning in, thank you, first of all. And second of all, if you have no idea who the heck is Judy Torres, let me tell you who I is. I'm a recording artist of over 30 years. I have been a radio personality in New York's WKTU for over 20 years, an actress, and most recently a master life coach. I decided I wanted to do this podcast because the majority of the messages that I get from fans are basically asking me for advice. I have no idea what it is that draws people to ask me, but I figure, hey, at the age of 51, I must have some answers. So thank you for listening. And on that note, what do you do when someone's controlling you? So today we're going to talk to Angela from Texas, and I haven't had anybody call from Texas before. So Angela, what's going on, honey?
Hi, I'm Angela E. calling from Georgetown, Texas, age 51. Judy, I was wondering if you can help me with the adult bullying issue.
Well, Angela, I really hope that I can help you. And since you're from Texas, I have somebody who has the meme of the week, and I believe she comes from your area.
Hi, I'm Wilhelmina, and this is Judy Torres' meme of the week. I'm not really a control freak, but can I show you the right way to do that? You like that, Judy?
Alrighty. So, Angela E., what would you like to talk about today? Talk to me.
Okay, let's talk about adult bullying. There's a couple of people I know who's been through it, you know, put down and, you know, not only by their so-called friends, but family members, you know, not believing in them or what they want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. You know, I could say it happened to me too, but, you know, it's more about other people too.
Okay.
A friend of mine, she was feeling really down because she also wanted to pursue her dream in acting at a late age, and people were laughing at her, saying she's too old, she don't have that look. You know, I can totally understand that because I've been told that too. So, But, you know, people, I want to know what, you know, it can impact people to a point where they can become really depressed. So I was wondering, what would you suggest, you know, to help people who go through that?
Well, first, I just want to let you know that, nobody's alone in that. I mean, I've experienced my own issues with bullying, even as an adult. I remember when I first started to try to get into this business, the first thing that my producer said was, you know, you're going to have to try to lose some weight because you can't be an artist if you're going to be fat. And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. What do you mean I'm fat? I was like, okay, I admit I got some extra on me, but nope, they're not going to sign you. No label is going to sign you looking like that. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. And did I lose the weight? Nope.
And you still made it.
And I still got signed. One of the best pieces of advice I could give to anyone is a beautiful quote by Eleanor Roosevelt. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent.
I like that.
So when someone says something horrible to you, if you let it affect you, it's because you allow it to affect you. And I know it's easier said than done because words hurt. Words are like the swords that cut right into your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're find that you don't get physically hit or hurt, but you remember it. And, you know, Dr. Phil says something amazing about that we speak about 100 words a minute, but our mind thinks 1,000 words a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So that means when someone says something bad to you, it repeats and plays in your mind over and over and over and over and over again. And that's why it's so hard to get past it sometimes. So the first thing that you have to do is say, you got to go, hold up, wait a minute. And you have to reframe and say to yourself, wait a minute. No. What this person, there's also another quote that I love that says, what you say about me is none of my business.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remember who you are. And people who don't know you don't speak the truth about you because they don't know you. And if they're judging you based on something in the way you look or your sexual preference or anything like that, then that's their problem. It says more about them than it does about you. You know, so the most important thing is you try not to give them permission. And then the second thing is to remember that what they say is a reflection of their character and their insecurity, not yours.
Right. I agree.
You know, that's really important. And then the third thing is to remind yourself who you are. You know, there's a beautiful quote that President Roosevelt gave. It's called The Man in the Arena. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It says, it is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcomings, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows with great enthusiasm the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. So in other words, when you're trying to do something for yourself, you're in the arena. Right?
Right.
You're working hard. You're working overtime. You're losing your mind trying to achieve this accomplishment. And people in the arena were the gladiators, and they didn't fight to win. They fought for their life. So there was one winner and there was one loser. Mm-hmm. So whoever's in that arena is fighting hard. And the people watching the people in the arena are doing nothing but booing and yelling and screaming. And they're either cheering you on or they're booing you.
Right.
But they're not in the arena. They have no idea what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So what other people are saying are not in the arena. They're not with you.
Right.
So what they're saying about you is none of your business. So that would be the advice that I would give people. And it does hurt. And you have to just decide, you know what? I'm not going to listen to that.
Right.
And most of the time, people who tell you who you are, people who criticize you, just do it because someone else did it to them. Mm-hmm. And it crushed them just as bad. And they didn't know how to fix it. They didn't know how to get out of it. So it's easier for them to point the finger and make fun of someone than to actually do something themselves.
I totally agree with you about them projecting their own insecurities onto others. I totally agree with that. And even in my personal experience, you know, I was around the same time I tried to become an artist in the 90s, and I was rejected because of my weight. And you know what? I didn't get signed. But what did I do? I went through a whole bunch of life stages, went to school. And I did it again, and I actually started to become somebody. So I feel that, you know, even though people put you down, you know, how's the saying goes? If you fall down, pick yourself up and dust yourself off and keep going. Doesn't matter what people think. But sometimes it is hard. It is difficult. It's challenging when already if somebody does have a low self-esteem already, and then people put them down, it makes it more challenging.
Absolutely. And, you know, Joel Osteen said something really great, because really, at the end of the day, bullies are haters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And Joel Osteen, who's a pastor, he actually said that haters are simply a distraction. There are people who are trying to distract you from your goals.
I agree.
And to me, there are people who are saying, how bad do you really want it? Show me.
I like that.
So you have the choice. You can either just completely ignore them, or you could say, okay, this is just a test.
I like that.
And pass the test. You don't need them. They don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
They're surely not helping you or supporting you. They're just telling you, just pointing a
right.
finger. And that doesn't help at all.
It doesn't. I agree.
Now, let me ask you a question. When I read your email, you mentioned something about domestic violence. Did you have a question about that?
Well, I find domestic violence is also bullying. Yeah, I mean, you know, women are, could be both ways, because men go through it too, but it's not as much spoken about as women.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
But when somebody bullies you and doing things you don't want to do, or forcing you to do, you know, lose connection with your friends and family. You know, it's bullying and it's domestic violence. It's a form of control, physical, emotional.
Right.
It's so many forms of control and abuse.
Well, the difference between a bully and domestic violence is that the bully lives with you.
Yes.
When you're in a domestic violence situation, the bully lives with you. And yes, abuse can be psychological, emotional, mental. It can also be physical. And that is beyond bullying. That is violence.
And what about mental? What about mental only? Like, they don't hit you, but it puts you down. Oh, you're too fat. Oh, you're too skinny.
Mental abuse is just as violent as physical abuse because the mental abuse stays with you.
Right.
With the physical abuse, the scars go away. And I'm not saying that physical abuse doesn't matter. Physical abuse is horrid. You have the memory of feeling all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, so basically abuse of any form is abuse, period. But with mental abuse, it's done in a way that confuses the victim. It's done in a way that they say something that hurts or they say something that scares you and then they blame it on you. Oh, you're so sensitive. Stop being so sensitive. You know what your problem is? You're stupid. Things like that. If the person doesn't have a great sense of their self and who they are, they start to believe it.
Of course.
And that's where it definitely starts to affect you, you know? And I think that's why I think it's important for people, number one, when you're in a relationship, as soon as you feel that someone's telling you what to do, what to say, who to talk to, who you should be friends with, what you should wear, run the other way. Iyanla Van Zandt says, when you see crazy, come and cross the street. And I totally agree with that. You know, it's sad it exists, you know, and I was actually a survivor of mental abuse, psychological abuse. I was with a boyfriend who actually had isolated me so well that I convinced myself that I was unworthy of everybody. And so I just stayed away. And because I stayed away, he was able to, quote unquote, work on me, you know? And then finally, I just had to realize, I was like, something's wrong with this. I'm not happy. I don't even know who I am anymore. I'm not sure of myself. I don't know what I want. All I keep thinking about is what he wants and how he's going to think and how he's going to react. And it was really, really affecting me. It was very, very bad. I'm glad to say I finally got out of that. It wasn't easy because when I got out of that, he got worse and he actually began to stalk me and I had to get a restraining order against him.
Wow.
That didn't help me either. So, but eventually I did get away from it. And that's what you have to do. If you are being controlled in any way, if you feel that you're being abused in any way, verbally, mentally, psychologically, physically, you've got to leave. You've got to get out of that situation.
Absolutely.
You know,
and I was a victim when I was younger, and I was all the above, including physical. And he almost killed me one day. He almost choked me to death.
Wow.
And I've been through it. But, you know, thankfully, I got a job. I was in school. I was stable enough to take care of myself. So I just got up. Luckily, I got up and left before he came home from work.
Wow.
I just took my stuff and I was gone.
Wow.
Because I knew I was able to take care of myself.
That's awesome. Well, let me ask you something. When you left, did you just left right away or did you have a plan?
I had a plan because I was with the relationship 5 years. Okay. I was very young. I was still a teenager and I was finishing school and I started college and I started learning more and more as I got into the social work field. And, I got a job working in mental health.
How ironic is that?
A residential facility.
I think that's ironic.
I know, right?
You're going through a mental abuse and you ended up working in the mental health field. So that hopefully that means you're giving back and you're helping people too, right?
Yes, I am. So when I got the job, I was working and I was understanding people more and more because, you know, various illness. You got schizophrenic, bipolar, schizoaffective disorders. Mm-hmm. My question was to the abuser that I was with. I believe he was paranoid. And he had some serious issues. He had head trauma. I'm not using that as an excuse, but I think that may maybe have something to do with it. Mm-hmm. But I got away. And, of course, they beg and plead. That's what they do. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to change. No, you're not. That's not going to happen. So, he tried numerous times to get me back. And when I refused, you could see him from, you know, fake crying until anger. because I rejected him.
I mean, there are lots of reasons why people can be violent. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just that violence was done to them when they were younger and they never got a chance to handle it. And so they're angry that they were helpless. And so when they get older, they end up turning that anger on someone else. So they feel helpless because they, at least then they feel in control. It can be something as simple as toxins in their system that give them rage. It can be, there are lots of reasons for them to be rageful. Mm-hmm. However, if they don't do something about it, you've got to get out. But if they hit you once, you've got to get out. And you've got to get out because, as you said before, they apologize. And then there's a honeymoon period where everything is great. And just when you let your guard down, boom, it happens again.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure does.
So that's what you got to do. You've got to get out. And if you believe that they're going to be violent, then you have to develop a plan. You've got to have an escape plan so that you leave quickly, swiftly, safely, and so that he cannot find you. You've got to be prepared to do that. And also, I want to let you know, if you go to whengeorgiasmiled.org, okay, that's the Robin McGraw Revelation and Dr. Phil Foundation. They really help people to develop awareness about what domestic violence is about. And if you have your cell phone, if you go to your apps, you can download an app called Aspire. Aspire. When you download the Aspire app, it's a free app. And basically, if you click on it three times, first of all, it looks like any type of news app. No one can recognize what kind of app it is at all.
Okay.
But if you click on it three times, it automatically reaches three people for you. And you can already have the messages preset. It can be said, it could say, please call 911 for me. It could say, come get me. I'm in trouble. You can say, meet me at this place. I need help. Or you can set it to call 911 directly, no questions asked, and he'll never know. He or she will never know. And it's a great way to keep yourself safe.
No, I really believe in trying to help others because, you know, I've been through it, you've been through it, and we feel that we need to help others so they don't go, they try not to go through it as bad as we did and try to help them get out of it.
And you know what I want to say too? If you are a friend of someone who you know is going through this, as frustrating as it is, because you feel like, I told them to leave him. I told them 3 million times and they still keep going back. Don't give up on them. Because deep down, they know they have to leave, but they're so terrified. And if they feel alone, it makes it that much harder. So just try to hang in there with them, love them through it, and know it's going to be okay. But Angela E., I want to thank you so much for bringing these topics up because I think they are important to talk about.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And I'm so excited to talk to you from Texas.
Thank you. I hope I see you here soon.
Okay. So I know this was a very heavy topic, so let's do something on a lighter note. Poochie, what you got for me?
Ay, pero Judy, why?
But Judy, why?
Pero Judy, why?
Ay, pero Judy, why?
Judy, I have a question, all right? I want to know, why is it that when I'm driving, people are cutting me off? They don't even put their blinkers on anymore. Like, they don't care. And I want to know, why is it that people in the left lane are going 2 miles an hour and people in the right lane going 75? That doesn't make no sense, Judy. And I want to know, why, Judy? Why do people just stop right in front of you? They cut you off and then they stop right in front of you. Why? I don't understand. Why is it that when I try to get an Uber, the Lyft shows up? I don't get it, Judy. Why? But why?
Well, all I could tell you, Poochie, is there's public transportation. There's always public transportation.
But, Judy, but then I got to buy a Metro card. I don't got no time for that. Nobody got no time for that.
I don't know what else to say.
And, Judy, why they call it Easy Pass, all right? There's nothing easy about it. I still get billed for it. If it was easy, it would be like nothing. It would cost me nothing. Judy, I work hard for my money, all right? So hard for my money. You better treat me right.
Okay, Donna Summer. I love you.
Little Judy, why?
So the topic of domestic violence is a big deal for me, and I've written 2 songs relating to that subject, and this song, Hell No, I'm going to dedicate it to those brave people out there who get out. And if this is happening to you, be sure you get out. Get out today. And I'm going to give you that National Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-800-799-7233. This is Hell No.
That's what
are a few final thoughts. When it comes to domestic violence, love is not supposed to hurt. My mom always used to say that. She used to say, Judy, love does not hurt. Love is not control. Love is not abuse. Love is not putting someone down, belittling them, or demeaning them, or degrading them. Love is love. Love makes you feel good about yourself. Love makes you feel secure. Love helps you feel supported. And love allows you to be who you are, exactly who you are, unconditionally, without any other expectations. So please, if this is happening to you, get out, and it's going to be okay, because in the end, there is no reason to cry. I love you. Bye-bye.
Be sure to keep up with Judy Torres on social media at Judy Torres Music. Like the official Judy Torres Facebook fan page or visit www.judytorres.com. Judy Torres is available for group and one-on-one life coaching as well as public motivational speaking appearances. If you wish to request these services or have a potential topic for a future episode of our podcast, please feel free to write to judytorreslifecoach@gmail.com. Beautiful Life is produced, protected, and published through Judy Torres Enterprises, LLC. All rights are reserved. Thanks for listening.
I told you there was no reason to cry.